Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
I've been thinking a lot about animal behavior lately. Maybe it has something to do with the lengthening days and the effects of the increased light on my brain. I don't know. Maybe it has something to do with the increased activity in the wildlife community, and even the changes I see in my dogs and my cat. Into this environment of change and awareness of animal behavior in the natural world came a preview copy of a CD of proposed environmental enrichment for dogs. This CD contains sounds that the creator's dogs responded to positively. Hey, I'm game for anything, and my dogs are pretty stable. So I played it at normal volume, as you would anything designed for environmental enrichment for any animal. What surprised me was that my dogs were more stressed than enriched. And this began with what seemed like some pretty innocuous bird song at the beginning of the CD that so set them off that they couldn't settle down. While I admit that they weren't sleeping, what they were doing was certainly more stressful than fun to them. And then I got to thinking about it. I mean, my dogs hear birds all the time. And in fact, I'm sure that Frick taught Ollie what bird songs he could ignore and which ones he had to pay attention to when he was a pup. And I'm sure her mother did the same to her. And now they're out with me every day, hearing bird songs, summer, winter, fall, and spring. So what was the big deal with these birds? And then I thought about ethology and animal behavior and realized, duh, they were either the wrong birds or the right birds in the wrong place at the wrong time. Does this matter to animals? Well, I know for a fact it matters to birds because it's been studied. Ethologists did experiments where they took the birds that lived on one side of one bird's territory and they moved them to the other side. Even though the birds in the new location were making the same calls and they weren't threatening, the bird who stayed in his own territory was very disturbed about this because they were in the wrong place. Now you might say to yourself, whoa, that sounds pretty stupid. But imagine if all of a sudden you started hearing the voice of the neighbor who lives on your left consistently coming out of the house on your right. All of a sudden, here's Mr. Jones over in Mr. Smith's house talking about how he's going to go to the supermarket, and then when he gets back, he's going to toss a load of laundry in, and then he's going to paint the living room. That would all sound perfectly normal for Mr. Smith to say in his own house, but to be saying in the wrong place, the wrong house. Now that's a little creepy, isn't it? I think that's what happened to my dogs when they heard this tape. And I loaned it to a friend of mine to see what response her dogs made, and her dogs made the same response. They were definitely upset about this. They didn't find it rewarding. They didn't find it enriching. They found it disturbing. And that made me think about this one-size-fits-all category that we often pigeonhole companion animals into. If one dog likes it, all dogs will like it. Or I'm sure there are statistical formulas that are used in marketing of animal-specific products. X number have to like it. And if X number like it, then that's it. Then it's offered to everybody on a take-it-or-leave-it basis. Or it's offered to everybody, and if you don't take it, then the presumption is that there's something wrong with your dog. There's something wrong with your cat. And that what you need to do is work with that animal and convince that animal that what he or she is feeling is irrational. It's completely irrational. You want to desensitize the animal to that product, whatever it may be, rather than say, I wonder what's going on here. I wonder why it works for everybody else, or maybe the majority, but it doesn't work for my animal. What's different about my animal? What is it about my animal's environment that makes this particular group of sounds not enriching but disturbing? And what is it about this other group of sounds that disturbs other animals but has no effect or has a positive effect on mine? These are the kinds of questions that... Excuse me, just the cat knocking a chair over. These are the kinds of questions that those who are marketing for the masses, they don't have time to ask. But these are the kind of questions that those of us who share our households with animals do have the time to ask. And they're the kinds of questions that we should ask, because our animals' health and good behavior may depend on it.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.